The opinions stated in this podcast do not reflect the opinions of the Elestal or SIUE as a whole. Welcome back to the Elestal After Hours. I'm Hannah Ledford, and joining me today, I have one Elestal employee and one very special guest.
So I'm the special guest. I'm kidding.
No.
Dylan Hembro, editor-in-chief. And
I'm Barrett Larkin, the newly elected student body president.
Wow.
The special one.
Woo.
So tell me a little bit about your path to becoming president. How did that kind of start and develop for you?
Yeah. I think last year I joined student government and I was a bit of a rarity as a class of 2025. Like, I had very few cohorts in student government, I guess, that those freshmen the year before weren't very interested. Maybe COVID, maybe they didn't do a lot of promotion that year. I don't know. But I became the school business senator fall 2022. And then we had a vacancy on exec. And I applied for organizations officer in spring of last year. And then I worked on student government. I put in a lot of work for organizations. And then I looked around, and because there were so few juniors, the presidential field was wide open. And so I said, this might be something to consider. And long story short, here we are.
So that was it, like a goal at all of yours, like coming into college?
No, it was not coming into college for sure. I knew that student government would be a good way to get involved for me personally. And I'm an economics major. I think through the problems that students have in unique but very organized ways. So it's kind of that creativity, but also with the structure. So I really did feel like I had something to contribute, and I hope that that'll bear out. I hope it already has borne out for the organizations that I've helped start. But yeah, as president, you sit on some pretty important committees with administrators. It's a big deal. The Kimmel yeah. seems to think we're important. I don't know. I like to think we're important.
Well, student government's about twice as big now as it was a couple years ago. So you've got a lot of new, I say new, within the last year, new senator positions to contend with. I don't remember exactly how many people there are in student government at the moment, but 30-something?
I think we have 36 elected positions. Not all of them were filled with this last election. We had a couple write-ins candidates that might still be under review. That hasn't gotten back to me yet.
Okay.
And then two freshman senators. So that's 38, to my knowledge,
okay.
senators.
That's a lot.
Do you like know all their names and everything about all of them?
No, I can't say that I do know. I recognize them all when they come in the office from this year. I haven't quite learned everybody's name that's coming in next year. They were all in the office this Monday. I know quite a few because they're returning. They seem to know me, so that's a good start. But I definitely hope to learn them all, get to know them at the training this coming Friday, and then we'll do another training and then have a full year launching right into it in the fall.
Yeah, for real. So what was your like initial feeling after you first found out that you'd won? Like, were you like, oh, shoot, I got to, like, go through with this?
There might have been a little of that, but I'll never admit it, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, it had a very much a vibe, since we're here in the basement of Dunham, of, like, the theater, like, auditions of, like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were all kind of hanging out in the student government office, just kind of this like, nervous tension almost. And then they posted up on the wall, and everybody went over. I did not go over to see it, but I could tell by people's reactions, like, you know, what had gone down. And
yeah.
20 votes is close.
I was going to ask about that. That was an even closer margin than last year's election. And last year's election, well, there were two of them for president and vice president. Were there any, I mean, like, I got to work with Luke Head, the election commissioner, this past year for several of the weeks leading up to the election. And it seemed from my end that everything was organized, it was very thorough, everything seemed to be going very smooth. So I didn't personally anticipate any issues or grievances being filed, but was there kind of that sense that maybe that might happen again this year on student government?
I can't speak for everyone in all the races, but for me at least, there was a lot of good faith. I think there was a real like joy just to be kind of in that competition of almost like a sport of like, oh, we're here to have fun. Like, we all, you know, we're in student government. We like government. We like, you know, campaigning is exciting. But I never considered like, oh, that'll go to a second election.
There's this one. I will say this one because it has been thrown around before. a dead week before finals, so a week with no new homework assignments.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be great. And I was it Haley that or
it's
during
in
her
our,
administration?
It's in somebody's transition packet. We were looking at that. It didn't go that deep of what issues they ran into. They definitely launched that investigation into okay. how feasible it would be. I'm very much of the mindset if you hit roadblocks, let's try to get some sort of momentum. So if it couldn't be like a university policy, I might talk to individual departments, like say, you know, accounting or philosophy or what have you, to see if we can get it at least on a smaller scale. And if,
right.
Because I'm not going to say, oh, we can't do it for every single student. Let's give up. Now that we have a couple departments, maybe the other ones feel a little pressured to, okay, now we
right.
have to, I guess.
So like a year isn't really that long when you like think about it. Do you feel like, I know you just got elected, but like, do you feel like you're kind of racing the clock a little bit already?
I definitely do. Just from, I remember it seems not that long ago that we did the last election and the last start. And I think it helps that we're doing a training in the spring this year, at least for me to get the juices flowing of the ideas. In the office today, my new organization officer, Ben Cole, said, like, Barrett, what, you haven't done anything. You're not doing anything like this second. And I said, Ben, it's been 2 days.
Right.
But no, 1 year is a short time, and especially in SG time, when that's really only 15 or so Senate meetings, if you think mm-hmm. about it. So each one has to really count. I know that as an exec officer, and I hope to impress that upon the senators.
There seemed to be this last year some hesitancy among the senators to question resolutions, or maybe not resolutions, initiatives, or revisions to the Constitution. The one that sticks out in my mind was having exec exempt from the Senate meetings. And like, if I remember right, the rationale behind that was because exec only has so many hours they can work per week, and they have other meetings that they hash out stuff in.
When I was a senator, I was always the devil's advocate, and I really liked
yeah,
debate.
I do remember that.
I've tried to step back being on exec of actively debating, because I want to give them the chance to do that, and I don't actually get to vote as an exec member. And the president doesn't vote in Senate meetings either, but of course, being president, you're kind of privileged to try to introduce some legislation. So it had to be two meetings anyway. I want to give all like credit to each individual person, but I agree that there was a culture of like, we're not going to debate this. And yeah, that's a morale kind of culture issue. No one person can change that, but I think we can do some things that lead to a more proactive culture.
Let's say you, or maybe not even you, but somebody introduces a piece of legislation, and there's kind of that lackluster, does anybody want to open the floor for discussion? And no one raises their nameplate or anything. As president, how are you going to maybe combat that isn't the right word, but...
I mean, unfortunately, if it got to that point where the thing, it's up for a vote at Senate, there's nothing much you can do at that point. It's more beforehand. I think it's worth, and I'm excited to have Lucia. I think she's going to be really good as vice president. And we have this new position with of head justice. Brendan Auerbach is doing that. Combined, they can work on these kind of parliamentary things. And first, I want the senators to know that it's not just abstain, open the floor for a discussion. You can move to amend right there in Senate. Like, we have committee meetings where these things are written out. You don't have to be in committee meeting. You don't have to know a single thing about the thing you're voting. You can still anyway say, I'd like to change, or I'd like to strike that last sentence, or I'd like to add on to an entirely unrelated bill. Let's also give Alestel Dillon, you know, kudos in this bill or resolution. That's something that they're empowered to do, and I think knowing that they have that power will give people the more inspiration to use it. I think the good first step is to talk to our returning senators and these new senators who are the most excited, who show the most passion right off the bat, to work with them, maybe coach them a little bit. Maybe they'll find mentors on the exec board to do this, where they can be encouraged to do things like that and to be a little bolder, to take risks. And that starts that snowball, I think. I hope.
How are you, as president, going to
convey
really
that parliamentary
ensure,
procedure?
And not just parliamentary procedure, but really ensure that every senator knows the ins and outs of their position and will use the powers that they have effectively.
Well, I'm excited to say that we have more transition packets than we ever have before.
That's good.
Which doesn't sound that exciting.
Well, I don't want to put this fear into your head, But oh,
that's ominous.
I did come across a TikTok of allegedly a president getting impeached, and they had like they showed the like alleged packet of all the stuff as to why they got impeached. So I just want to give you some advice so that you don't get impeached. So one thing that you should not do is put your senators in a Dance Mom style pyramid where you rank them like bottom row, middle row,
and
then
somebody
the one
actually
at the top.
Do this?
Yeah, allegedly. Wow. And it led to an impeachment. Go ahead and cross that off your list.
That's
don't
noted.
Do it.
That's so funny that you said that. That was pitched to me. I won't reveal
really?
Who. That, not senators, but exec board, which might work better. We're pretty close. But
I mean, yeah. If you think it's appropriate.
No, I I think I can find more constructive way. I don't know. Dylan was there. I was very complimentary to them. I took a good long bit to write up what I, you know, how I felt about them in a professional way.
And I included that in the Senate scoop.
Yeah.
But no, they're, for now, none of them have upset me. I'm very excited to work with all of them. And it's been said, again, I won't reveal who, that this is the best exec that one person has ever seen.
Wow.
The people on exec, so like through Know Your Vote, I've gotten to know.
Yeah, quite a few of them.
My vote, you know?
Yeah. the most informed voter besides the people on student government.
I guess, yeah. So I really wonder if that whole segment did more for me than it did for anybody else.
We loved it in the office.
Well.
Everybody has
it.
Their little cutouts of themselves.
Every time I like came to drop off the papers with whoever was in that week, I saw more and more. I was like, oh yes. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. But for the people like Ben Cole and Sidney Uechner, mm-hmm. I interviewed them both together because they were both freshman senators this last year. And I got the sense from both of them that they were committed to their job, whatever their job may be. Both seem pretty organized and like head direction. And, you know, like you said, you're going to have more active senators and less active senators. And it really seemed like they were meant to rise up to the top at some point.
That usually happens with the freshman senators because a lot of people apply, to my understanding.
Really?
And only two become the first. So it is a bit of a self, like that we select for the best, at least at that time. Again, here I am present. I was never freshman senator. But no, if you look through our rosters over the years, at least one of the two freshman senator go on to stay around for a while.
Interesting. Okay.
My number one thing is I really don't, unless there's something crazy and it's fast and obvious or I see it as super important, no long processes of constitution revisions. And that'll help the Senate mindset of that attitude about what we do of like, we help the students and we visibly help the students. I want it to be very concrete. If I've learned anything doing like presentations, it's like give examples, give, you know, something that you can look at, describe with, you know, vivid adjectives. You know, you guys know these things.
Right.
Yeah. So I want to have things filed as bills that everyone can see. Like they'll go up on our website, hopefully. You'll file it. You're like, if you have an idea, and they all have initiatives in their heads, they're just varying degrees of reality. You have to, if you have an idea, it's not real until you file it as a bill, and everybody can see it, inside student government, outside student government, and we're going to check in with that. And if it's not going anywhere, if you don't have, like, you know, key deliverables along the way, if we see that you're not working out, we're going to say, hey, you got to pivot from this. People really do listen to us in student government. Like, people will respond. We like to help each other. Like I said, we have those bonds. We can figure out, like I said, with the dead week, if we can't get it to 100% what you originally imagined, let's see what we can get. In engineering, they call it the minimum viable product of what's the fastest thing that we can ship out to the consumer. And then now if students can see it who aren't in student government, they can give us feedback. They might hate it. They might say, Bear Larkin's the worst president I've ever seen. He tried to do this mental health resolution, and just looking at these posters make me sad. But, well, that's feedback that we can work with, right?
Yik Yak's going to go crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't get Yik Yak on my phone.
I can't get Yik Yak either.
Because I have you have a flip phone.
What? You're the president. Why do you have a flip phone?
Well, I just did a, you know, pro-con analysis of having access to email and social media, like, at all times of the day, and I said, I don't need that in my life.
So, like, but I'm assuming you like, get texts need and calls your and email. Like,
yeah,
can
I
you
have
get
my
your
laptop.
Email on your
no. People, I have exec can text me. This is a whole different.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to go into that. I was just gonna brag that someone on Yik Yak was that they were complimenting me on Yik Yak, and I didn't even know during the election. I was like, yes, because I was so scared that they would be mean and I would never know.
The only Yik Yak content that I see is from other Illustal staffers and Tammy. Tammy peruses
she
TikTok.
She loves
or TikTok. Yik Yak.
She frequents.
Yeah.
Yik Yak. I think she posts a lot more than we think.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think a lot of the content on Yik Yak might come from Tammy.
What does that imply about all that your guys is like, you know, journalism code and, you know, First Amendment stuff?
Well,
is that they go Yik Yak?
We don't get our news from Yik Yak necessarily, but
to kind of wrap things up, like in a year when you're all done, where do you want to see yourself and the work that you've done?
That's a great question. Right now, that form is kind of just, I have this idea of like, we're going to very measurably track bills and resolutions. They're going to be on a spreadsheet with like which people did them and who started them and whatever. And I want to have a long sheet. Because I'm imagining if we did this system right now, we would maybe have, they'd mostly be from our finance committee where we'd do a lot of good work funding events that people can petition. And if they don't know and they're listening, you can petition student government and we can fund your event as long as it's on campus and everybody's, you know, invited. You're not excluding other students and organizations that, you know, just for their basic running, you know. But we add all those up and maybe my 20 or so things of new organizations or name changes, maybe you'd have 100 bill, and then you have like a handful of senator resolutions or initiatives that got finished. So I don't know, let's say aggressive estimate, like 150, if we labeled them all kind of diligently. I want to at least double that. And most of that's not going to come from finance, because the people who mostly apply for the same things every year, it's maybe we'll get a slight uptick. I don't know. That's up to the interpretation of the finance officer. If she would like to go more on quantity or quality, I'm fine with that either way. But through senator and exec initiatives of let's think outside the box of your current position or what's been done in the past, because we've had a year or two, if not more, of these kind of lackluster transitions. We don't know exactly what we do from tradition. We only know it from what's been written down. So we need to kind of start that momentum, start that tradition. And I'm a big believer in kind of the idea of, you know, back in the like medieval times, they would build these cathedrals, right? And they take like 400 years to build. So you're the guy who's just like moving the bricks around and you put down your brick and you're not going to be able to go to the cathedral, but you put your brick down or two or three or whatever, and you're satisfied with that. And so that's how I'm trying to think of it, of like, let me lay my bricks down and people won't know that it's me in 2 years, 3 years, when all of my current senators and exec graduate, but it will be there in the tradition. And I have already been appreciating some of the stuff that's been left from the past, even though I don't know who was student body president in 2009, mm-hmm. but I've seen their kind of documents. Yeah. So I hope that long-term is something that happens. And I grew up around Edwardsville, so I think I will see tangentially how the students do and affects the community. I don't know.
Right, you do kind of get to watch that as the years go by if you plan on staying in this area, which yeah. I think I've heard you say you do plan to.
Yeah, I'm pretty committed to the area. I don't know exactly where my career will take me, right? I'm only a junior, but definitely I have family in the area. I'll know what's going on,
yeah.
And I'll probably be around.
I think setting that, like, you know, doubling that estimate, so what, 300 or so?
Yeah, let's say 300, and you guys can hold me to that.
Yeah, you know,
see where we're at.
That gets us content in a year.
In December, and then I'll have to really dig into gear.
I think what you said about like having that accessible not only to everyone on student government, but for everybody on campus is a really good idea, not only because it makes our job a little bit easier, but...
That's how they do it in the Illinois House, or the General Assembly. You
really?
Can look up
House
bills and resolutions.
So, and that would be something that... would be a really good thing to communicate to the students in whatever way student government does that.
Yeah.
That was my most concrete promise I've made so far.
Yeah.
Very wholesome.
Like, thank you.
You know?
You liked all that stuff about the cathedral and the bricks?
Yeah, it was very artistically put. Articulate. That's what
I'm... Oh, good.
Not artistic.
I believe Dominic Majors was the president in 2009.
Why do you know that?
You've seen. I have not pulled out my phone since you said that.
That's so impressive.
I'm gonna check really now. Weird. I'm gonna check now.
I guess it's a good year of Alessa reporting.
No, I've got a list of everyone back to 1989 so far, and once I finish with my employee catalog, going all the way back to 1960, I will have everybody.
But still, that you know it offhand.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, there are two presidents 2009 because spring and fall. Unless
right.
You could I think there's a couple times that we've had it twice.
Dominic Majors,
wow.
April 2008 to April 2009.
That's crazy.
And then Brandon Ron was 2009 to 2011. He actually served 2 years.
I used to be able to do that with the real presidents. Like, you give me a number and I give you the president.
I couldn't do number, but I know...
You know years? Or just order?
Because
you could figure out
number. Order I'm decent at. You know, yeah, you could figure it out from that.
1975
would be right after Nixon.
Oh, right after.
Because Watergate was 72. So Ford would have been, how long was Ford in office for? I think Nixon resigned at the beginning of his second term, right? So Ford would have been in office for 3-ish years. So yeah, probably Ford.
Girl, there's no Someone space can fact in my check brain me on for that. Any of that. I don't. Well, it's time for obsessions now.
It is.
And I have a pretty good one. And it happened earlier today because my class earlier was my Global Village class, which... Neither of you know, because neither
no,
of you.
No, I know Global Village.
Oh, you do?
Ali was on Global Village, and I've watched his work there, and that's why part of why I hired him as our marketing director, or communications director.
That's nice. Well, you don't know, Dylan, because you're not mass comm, and you're not cool like that.
Ugh.
But
yeah, I'm only a STEM major.
Gross.
It is gross sometimes.
But we go out to, film around campus, and we went to the gardens, and we were on this bridge, and you could, look over the little pond river, and there were so many turtles. And I was, watching the turtles for, 5 minutes. I swear, there was so many turtles. And it was the cutest thing ever, and it made my whole day.
Do you remember my snails obsession a few months ago?
Are your snails still alive?
No.
None of them?
That was long gone.
What did you do?
I don't know. I followed all the instructions.
Did you give them some, potato chips? Because they don't do salt.
No, snails. I did not do that.
That's evil.
No, I did not do that. They were aquatic snails and, everything. I don't know. I checked my water parameters, a couple times a week, and I don't know.
How long did you have them for?
A couple months.
How long are they supposed to last?
A couple months to a year.
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah. So they might have just been old.
That just seems sad. Remember when I talked about my snails? Yeah, none of them are here anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I also got them from PetSmart, so that's probably, or Petco, one of the two. So
not a good way to start your life.
Yeah, those tanks there aren't, the best. So they might have already been on the way out. One of them I got, I'm pretty sure I bought dead.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not great.
I didn't know until I got home, but.
Got ripped off. Did you try to return it?
They were $2 each.
Oh. Well, now I want one.
They're funny little things. But anyway, do you want to go or?
See, we already started to get into mine. My obsession has been 26th President Teddy Roosevelt recently. I'm an econ major and he broke up these big companies like Standard Oil. I could talk about it for a long time. But yeah, Teddy Roosevelt, he read a book a week or more. And he boxed, and he
was kind of a jack of all trades.
Yeah,
person.
He was just this really interesting dynamic character, and I think that is to be reading of his biography while I was campaigning took it from just a normal interest to obsession levels of I gotta be a man of action here, yeah. Like Teddy Roosevelt. So. If anybody is...
Lead student government with the big stick policy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what that exactly would entail.
You've got a year
to figure
it out.
But speak softly, carry a big stick. So, I'm not doing the speak softly very well. I'm being quite brazen, actually, yeah. Saying I'm going to double the number of things that we do.
I mean, Teddy Roosevelt was pretty brazen, too.
Yeah, so yeah. I know.
So he didn't really follow that either.
But it also, reading about, he was doing all this naval, maneuvering behind the scenes, The U.S. almost went to war with Germany in 1903, but we just didn't because he had these, secret alliances and he had these friends in Germany who were, telling him stuff. And that made me start playing this game online, Conflict of Nations, World War III, where I am the nation taking over the world. So yeah, it's all the whole president stuff has maybe gone to my head.
Podcast isn't sponsored yet.
Gone to my head a little bit, and I now think that I'm Teddy Roosevelt.
So okay. we're gonna invade UMSL then, right? Or SWIC. Maybe we should start with SWIC.
Carbondale.
Is it too soon for that one? I feel like that's kind of the big one.
I feel like that's our Roman Carthage, right?
Well, they're like our arch nemesis. So yeah. That's like you build up to it.
I don't know if people understood, because I kept talking about patriotism for SIUE on the, and basically what that means is that if SIUE does something good, then I love it just automatically. And if SIUE does something bad, then I'll fight to fix it. And then with Carbondale, it's the reverse. If they do something good, I'm mad and I want to fight against it. And if they do something bad, I'm like, yes.
I feel like if we're going to, they could be like, if we're Rome and they're Carthage, we'll salt their fields. But
we get snails.
Yeah.
God.
They use snails for purple dye. That's where they got it. I don't know why I know that. But anyway, my obsession. I'll keep it simple. So a little bit of a, maybe premature announcement, but I mean, she knows it's going to happen. So sometime in the next couple months, I may be popping the question.
She knows?
She knows. Okay. She doesn't know when it is.
Okay.
She just
this would
knows
be a heck of a
happen.
Way to announce.
I know. Like,
not
she's going to hear it and you be
know,
like.
Yeah, I don't think she listens to the podcast.
Oh, great.
Could be one of the 0 to 500 listeners.
You know, Bruce's girlfriend only listens to the episodes that he's on, so maybe she listens to the ones that you're on.
So she's listening to like a couple of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not going to say, you know, on air when it is, but it's soon. I have the ring. It's very pretty. She picked out the ring, and then like I picked out the ring that I wanted because I wanted something as well just to symbolize our engagement when we're engaged. Because I guess sometimes men don't wear a ring during engagement.
I'm engaged. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything, and I feel left out.
Yeah, so I was like, man, I kind of want something. So
it's not about you guys. It's about her.
But
it's her
if
moment.
Someone sees me at the bar, I want them to know that I'm taken.
I guess. But why aren't you at the bar with her?
That's fair,
I
guess.
That's my point.
Yeah, that's true. So, but my ring, I haven't seen it in person, but I know what it looks like. It's black and it has a blue stripe down the middle, like this, like sapphire kind of blue. And cause those are my two favorite colors.
Like Tron?
Well, okay. My ring looks really cool. Her ring looks so pretty. I tried to model it on my finger. My fingers are way too chunky for that. So I got it down to about here, and I took a picture of it.
You just wanted to feel pretty.
Yeah. It's a really pretty ring. She did a really good job. And now I'm getting ads from that company constantly. I'm like, I'm only getting engaged once.
Well, thank you for being on and talking to us.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I look forward to seeing what you do and following your progress. Hope you don't get impeached.
Thank you.
That'd suck, but that'd be good for us because that'd be a good story.
Can you say, do you know if we've had any impeached when? What year?
For what?
John S. Rendleman.
Oh, I didn't. Like
wow,
the Rendleman Hall?
Like the
Rendleman?
Hall?
His son.
Oh my goodness.
Nepo
Whoa.
Baby.
Yeah.
I have to
this
come.
This was in the 1980. Yeah.
Dang what? It, that's upsetting because my father is a professor here, and I was wondering if that's the first time that's happened of a, you know, faculty, staff kind of, you know, a child became a student government person, but apparently not at all.
No, not at all. No.
Just a lot of
gosh darn.
I was really confused when I first saw it because I was like, John Rendleman, wasn't he the president or chancellor or something? I forget which one.
What a career path.
Yeah. I was like, he went from president to different kind of president. But no, it was his son with the exact same name, same middle initial. In the 60s.
What did he do? Why did he get impeached? I want to know.
Oh yeah, we need to know now.
He like registered for classes 2 days late or something like that. It was something really technical.
What?
I guess people didn't like him.
Oh, so he wasn't like a student for a second?
Yeah.
That's what takes 2 days?
It was really technical.
Wow.
So he actually ended up joining the Elestal after that, and along with several other student government members. So going into 1981, the student president John Mosser, like wrote letter to the editor after letter to the editor to the Elestal, like decrying and denouncing Nancy Weil, the editor-in-chief at the time, for allowing the Elestal to prostitute itself was the word, and he referred to it as the Elestal coup d'etat.
I want to end normal.